Alex Horton served with the 3rd Striker Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division, in 2007. His unit was involved in heavy house-to-house fighting in Bakuba, Iraq.
Hey, G!
Sound from Alex Horton's blog, Army of Dude, on which he chronicled the battle for Bakuba, which was supposed to be a 30 to 60-day mission and turned into a 5-month fight. On the first day, a young man named Brian Chevalier, a driver for the platoon, was killed by a buried bomb. Alex wrote about that and other battles on his blog. His tone was often critical. And when he came home, Army of Dude became a place to read his criticism of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Pretty no-holds-barred stuff, which is why it's a little surprising that he was then hired by the VA to keep doing it. Alex now writes for the department's Vantage Point blog. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. As Alex Horton joins us from the Christian Science Monitor Studios in Washington. Alex, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And I've read your posting today, so I know that this day will be like any other for you, but you don't mean that in a disparaging way. Explain.
Memorial Day is something, I think, more for civilians who haven't lost anyone in combat or didn't know anyone that was killed overseas. When you're young, you kind of see Memorial Day from the backseat of your dad's station wagon, You know, on to vacations and picnics. But once you're on the other side and you lose someone, then it takes on a whole new meaning. And Memorial Day doesn't begin or end on the last Monday in May for soldiers who lose someone. It spreads across the year, and, you know, Tuesday is not going to be any different than Monday for me.
You say the day bleeds across the calendar for you, and that actually the day of your friend's death, Brian Chevalier, becomes the rallying point for you and the members of your platoon. What you call each other on that day?
He was killed on March 14th, 2007. So every year we call each other and we tell stories about Chevy, phone calls and Facebook status updates. Because veterans of this generation, they're all on Facebook, so they kind of leave virtual memorials for their friends when they're killed and on the anniversaries of their death.
Yeah.
So every March 14th, you see a flood of messages saying, rest in peace, Chevy, we miss you, rest in peace, you know, we're thinking about you today. You know, and everyone takes a drink to remember him.
Well, and it's one thing to hear that someone died, which is sad enough, but you and your generation also are, you know, doing this blogging, and you really paint quite a picture in your post today about what happened on that day. You and your fellow troops in armored vehicles rumbling down the street, sort of aware of a certain sense of foreboding because you suddenly realize, wait a minute, no one's out on the street, except for some Iraqi kids sitting on a wall. What an image you paint. What were they doing?
They were just sitting there watching us.
Putting fingers in their ears, which...
Yes.
Kind of...
Because in the area, there was large parts that were free and open to insurgents. So they would go out and bury a roadside bomb and pave over it so you couldn't even tell it was there. Everyone in the neighborhood knew where they were. The kids anticipated us coming through there, and they were all gathered around watching for one of our vehicles to roll over this bomb that was buried.
Yeah.
And at the precise moment, all of them put their fingers in their ears in anticipation.
Which has to be a chilling last image for you to have before that blast happens. It does happen. A firefight ensues. In all likelihood, a lot of those kids were killed. It is horribly sad all around. So you write about that. Were you aware, by the way, in Iraq, how popular your blog was getting while you were in theater?
I really didn't notice anything while I was posting. I would go to the internet cafe, put up a quick post, upload it, and go back to what I was doing. And then we'd go back out for, you know, a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time. It was only until I had time before we came home when I started getting a lot more comments and emails that I understood where it was going.
And where was it going? How would you characterize your attitude on your blog?
Cynical. I mean, it was 4 years after we invaded, and here we were. And I was in high school when they crossed the line into Iraq in 2003. So it was very much something that I grew up with. To be there years later was strange, and, you know, we struggled with what we were doing and why people were getting killed.
Well, let's bring people up to date, because then you came home in 2007 and kept this sort of clear-eyed view as you started attending community college on the GI Bill. Here's a line from your new blog, When You Come Home. How many obscene scandals, misappropriations, and misdiagnoses does it take to see there's a rotten core at the center of the VA? What do you really feel, Alex Horton, about this? What was getting your ire up?
It was the implementation of the post-9/11 GI Bill that boosted a lot of benefits for a lot of people. but VA was challenged to implement it so quickly. So when it got time for people to receive their benefits, there was a hiccup. And a lot of students like myself weren't getting paid their housing allowances on time. And that extra money was going to be a boost, and all of a sudden it didn't come, and no one can tell me when it was going to come. So it was very frustrating and very difficult, especially because I couldn't communicate with anyone inside of the department about my situation.
It's why it's so interesting to know that the VA then turned around and hired you. How did that happen?
Brandon Friedman, the director of new media, was just hired about a month before that post, and he was the only person I knew that worked at central headquarters here in Washington. He was tasked by Secretary Shinseki and Assistant Secretary Tammy Duckworth to develop a new media strategy. And last spring, Brandon contacted me saying, VA is looking to expand its new media outreach and we need a writer on staff. And at first, I didn't know what to say because I had to finish my degree and I wasn't too sure about writing for VA. I didn't think that they would give me the same kind of platform that I had used for so many years. But then I thought about it, and I thought about the opportunity that I could help set up and pioneer a new way that VA communicates with veterans, which was a challenge that I encountered. You know, the lack of communication that they showed with me and with countless other veterans throughout, you know, the decades that they've been around. So it was an opportunity to change that. It was an opportunity to help other people that have been in my position that didn't have someone within the department they can go to. You know, someone who knows their struggles and who can understand and sympathize. And I believe that's why they brought me in, because I've been on the other side of that coin. I've been that frustrated veteran who couldn't get any information or accurate resources to use.
Alex Horton, who blogged very critically about his frustrations with the Department of Veterans Affairs when he came home from Iraq, so they hired him. Alex is now part of the VA's new media team, writing for the blog Vantage Point. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org, where you can see Alex's post today about a friend who was killed in Iraq. Others contribute as well on everything from the wave of mental health problems to suicide, even how civilians should talk to veterans. But Alex, a Washington Post story quoted another military blogger who wondered whether you'd just be spewing government propaganda if you went to work for the VA. Now, you told us that was actually a friend who was kind of joking, saying, we've lost you to the other side. But are you really able to write what you want to write?
When I came in for the interview before I was hired, I sat down with Assistant Secretary Duckworth, and she told me that she didn't want me to flack for the agency. She didn't want me to go out there and take a press release, put a personal spin on it, and shove it out the door. They wanted me to take my perspective and the perspective I have with other veterans my age who have gone through these frustrations and channel it to make some positive changes. They gave me a pretty long leash, and we're free to write on a variety of topics without any consent with senior leadership.
Well, Tammy Duckworth is the veteran who lost both her legs and the partial use of one arm in Iraq. And she has talked about saying that she needs, you know, independent voices like yours within the VA. But on the other hand, we hear that, and this is through a Washington Post article, that one of the concerns that she had, that there isn't enough parking at some VA spots. And in fact, she was missing medical appointments because she couldn't find disabled parking in particular. And when you took that issue up, we understand that it was stonewalled and tabled and that you didn't get to write about it. What happened there?
That was a big miscommunication that's been repeated since the Post article. I identified two people to talk to with the help of the office that runs construction for VA. I sat down with a couple of them for about half an hour, realized that it was a very complex issue that couldn't be boiled down into one interview and then write one blog post about it, and that I had to talk to other people and dig a little deeper. So the issue was, is, you know, they asked us, has a story ever been killed? And that was the closest we can ever think of one, when it was simply all we wanted to do was move on to another one.
Make it better.
I didn't even write anything. I just have notes from the interview. I didn't write a single word about it. So there's no one squashing the story because there is no, the story hasn't been written at all. So that was a lot of smoke in the Washington Post article.
And we're glad to clear it out. But it does illustrate that you can't just be the guy anymore who just gets on a blog and vents what he thinks and doesn't have to check, you know, and you
right.
know, it isn't just an opinion piece anymore. You're a reporter.
In a sense, I am a reporter. I have to make sure all these pieces fit together, and we want to shine a light on the department. And we found that it was just too much to handle for one post.
Yeah. Well, and to other topics like, oh, the VA's reliance on mail and paperwork. You call it, depending on, stone tablets. You also took on these for-profit colleges that are targeting marketing directly to veterans. What was your concern with them?
I was concerned when I saw these for-profit schools that marketed themselves as military and veteran-friendly, that they can get their degree really fast and then the veteran can move on. When in reality, it's hard to give that credence when they're suggesting that veterans should just stay home by themselves, do their work, and not mix in with the rest of society.
Which is how some of these online for-profit schools function. You just do it on your computer.
Right. You know, you don't have to speak in the same room with a person your whole degree plan, you know. So I was very concerned that they were doing that, and I was also very angry that they were targeting veterans specifically for their benefits that they got, the post-9/11 GI Bill. They were going after veterans deliberately, not because it was the best choice they can make for their education, but because it was a endless gold mine for them. I wanted to make sure people knew that.
Yeah. What else are you, you know, if you could tick off, even if you have a laundry list, the things that you feel you need to keep an eye on, blog about, and be cynical about?
The good thing about working here is my writing has taken a more optimistic tone. I'm not the cynical veteran, you know, shaking my fist at VA from, you know, my living room anymore. You know, I have a chance to change the course of the discussion and make a positive impact in people's lives.
You say your tone has gotten more optimistic. Have you sold out, Alex Horton?
Well, if I sold out, it wouldn't be for that much money. So I don't think I did the right thing if I was going to do that. Yeah, some people might say that. You know, I'm definitely not making a career move, and I'm definitely not making it big in Washington. The interesting thing about veterans is, you know, you go for a deployment, you focus on the mission, you get home. The mission becomes kind of nebulous. You don't know if you're going to go to school or go back to work or what you're going to do.
You have the structure.
So I was in search of a mission, and I think I found it here.
And you're also now looking to maybe go on to a school in the area, Georgetown, or one of the schools
Yes.
in the area?
I was accepted into Georgetown, so I'm going to start in the fall.
Oh, congratulations. I had not
Thank
heard
you.
That. Congratulations. And isn't it something? Because you are a darn good writer. You failed English twice in high school?
I did, along with many other classes.
Well, and what does that say to you about, even though there's so much that you sought to criticize in the military, look what's happening for you.
People ask me if I regret joining or regret deploying to Iraq, and I tell them absolutely not. The person I was in high school, you know, someone who didn't care about doing my homework or what I was supposed to be focusing on, and then to go through the military and kind of get a feel for discipline and respect and goals and missions and camaraderie and, you know, doing things for other people, it set a good precedent for the way I live life now. And I owe it all to the military.
That's Alex Horton, an Iraq War veteran and a blogger who is very critical of the military and now works for the Department of Veterans Affairs as one of its main contributors on the blog Vantage Point. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. Alex, thank you. And as we said, part of your writing is to help civilians interact with vets. So what do you say on Memorial Day? You don't want to say Happy Memorial Day. What do you say?
If you know a person that lost someone overseas, the appropriate thing to say is, I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm thinking about you today.
Well, Alex Horton, we are sorry for your loss, and we're thinking about you today.
Thank you very much, Robin. I appreciate it.